creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
Previously on Culture Click, we brought you to the Ibsen Festival at the Commonweal Theater in Lanesboro, Minnesota. This year, the Commonweal Theater produced Brond as their feature production celebrating Ibsen's work. Themes explored in the play are religion and beliefs, and fitting in with that, a talk was given on the dynamics of religious fanaticism and formation of an authentic religious identity. Today, we follow up with an interview to the discussion with its presenter. You're listening to Culture Click.
All right, you're listening to Culture Click right here on KQAL 89.5. I'm Robert Pack here at Ibsen Fest in Lanesboro, and I'm talking with one of the presenters. Can I get you to introduce yourself and the topic of today's presentation?
Absolutely. So I'm J.P. Rosenzweig, and I'm the founder of the Philosophy Institute, which is in Chicago. The mission or the general idea of the Institute is to bring philosophy into our society, to help people see how so many of the problems that we face as individuals and as a society, that philosophy can help us with these things. That in America, often philosophy is sort of thought to be not so relevant to everyday life. But in fact, the philosophers throughout history, they were writing about problems that we all face just because we're people, not because there's some, you know, what makes a life meaningful. How do we deal with what's right and wrong? How do we deal with birth and death and all sorts of questions that we all raising children? So the general idea is to sort of teach philosophy in light of this general idea that it's about things we all go through just because we're people. Today's presentation was, the title of it was The Cult of Personality and the Threats to Authentic Religious Identity.
When I was listening to your presentation, I kind of was thinking, with the cult of personality, is that something that you believe that somebody has, or it's something that somebody is given by followers or by people who want to lead or be led by this person?
Yeah, that's a very good question. It can probably take many forms. I mean, the cult of personality, one of the forms that we were looking at today is, I mean, it's actually interesting, one of the questions afterwards related to this. So on the one hand, you can have a cult of personality where someone is in some way trying to engineer or bring about the case that people will follow him, right? You can have that kind of situation. And that might be related to what I was calling what Martin Buber calls the way of the propagandist. If, you know, if someone is a leader and they're, in effect, their viewpoints, they think of them as a kind of propaganda, or they want to convince people. But you can actually have, I guess you could have a reluctant cult of personality, you could call it. Although I don't think it would be it's interesting, just a separate issue is what the phrase is and how we tend to use that phrase, you know, what the phrase tends to mean. I mean, so one is there's this phrase, the cult of personality, and how do we tend to use that? And then there's the phenomena of there being a leader and people following him in different ways. And so whether or not even cult of personality is exactly an accurate label or phrase for that, we could think about. But because I think cult of personality, there's some sense, well, it could actually capture both. I mean, there's some sense where you have a charismatic or powerful person and people. Now, it seems like it easily could be that people find themselves following him. It could emerge as one of the questioners asked at the end, if a town or a country or a institution is in crisis in some way. But then I don't know if you'd really call that the cult of personality, because it's not so much that they're following him because of his charisma or that he's so convincing. It's more that they're following him because they needed a leader to emerge. And so actually, as I think about it, it's one of the best nice parts about being a philosopher is it's you can at least hopefully just think aloud as you're, because that's part of the activity of doing philosophy. But so as I think about it, it seems that when a leader emerges naturally in that sense, as your question was implying, that it could be that people are a leader emerges because someone is a powerful kind of person, or they have a magnetic personality, or they're highly intelligent, or they're highly skilled. But it doesn't seem that what's really the motivating factor isn't their magnetic personality or something. It's because this is, again, still on the case of when something evolves naturally. In that case, it seems that what might be the really defining factor is there's an actual need. Whereas in the other case, it's more perhaps some of these other dynamics that I was talking about, where people, it's easier to sort of follow a leader. You know, that might be more of a cult where there's not an actual need, but people, since it's hard to actually become an individual, it's sort of a more of a default to often, or it can be, to follow this or that leader. So that might be the case more with a cult of personality.
You kind of talked a little bit about propaganda, kind of overheard one of the questions you had afterwards, and the topic of media came up. Mm-hmm. With media, of course, is arguable. You can argue whether or not certain media is it media, is it news, or is it propaganda? How important is it, or is it important for us as individuals to remain individuals and basically question everything?
That's a great question, because it's a very nice link between, in my talk today, I was talking about how if one is potentially going to follow this or that leader, how can you tell whether that person is quite wise, or whether at some level, ultimately, they're more of a fanatic at some case. In other words, both cases, they might be extreme in some sense, but you could have someone that's extreme, but yet they're wise or healthy, and then you could have someone who's extreme and they're fanatic. So it's very interesting to then, it's like you're almost making an analogy or a link to, how about if we think about the media in the same way? So if I read a news story or I listen to a radio program, I would think, following up on your question, it is exactly crucial that we go through the same kind of process that I was talking about. How does a person sort of know, gee, do I want to follow this person? Because maybe they're a fanatic or something like that. So when you're reading a news now, you don't have to worry so much about every news story being fanatical. So it's a different concept. But it is crucial to think, am I being manipulated by this news story in some way? Are the words being used? You know, I remember the first time I really came across this was a professor when I was in college pointed out, I don't remember the exact example, but it was Reagan was president, or this was the example he was giving, example from that time, and how when the New York Times, the Washington Post, when they would refer to the Nicaraguans, they would refer to them as freedom fighters, but they weren't freedom fighters according to everyone. They committed lots of atrocities and things. So my history is a little weak on that. But that, I always remember, I was struck by that phrase that I just read freedom fighters. And of course, I just think, oh, that's beautiful. But then the professor pointed out, you got to be very careful with. So I would say that's a great link as to, in a way, question everything. I mean, there's a danger of then a kind of paralysis and all these dynamics of how is it that we can know what is sort of an authentic source of news. I mean, it's very difficult because you're not going to spend you can't research everything fully. And there I was also talking about, there might be some way that we can, for lack of a better term, or maybe it's an appropriate term, we can sense what's an authentic source. I mean, I was using it in the context of following a leader. So I can't prove something, or I can't know for certain, but it's as if I can develop my antenna, so to speak, to be relatively subtle, then when I'm interacting with this or that political leader, professor, religious leader, whomever, if some little part of me starts to think, something funny is going on here, you know, if I can develop the part of me that might be able to sense that. Now, exactly, you know, there might be different ways to do that, but perhaps the same thing does apply to media. You know, because it's going to be impossible for us to, you can't go meet the journalist who wrote the, but there are ways to sort of, it's sort of like, does it pass the smell test, so to speak, for lack of a better. So I like that. I think that's a very interesting link between what I was talking about and sort of kinds of issues that we all just face, especially with the internet these days and the proliferation of sources and news sources.
Okay, great. That was my final question. I appreciate your time. And you've been listening to Culture Click right here on KQAL 89.5.
Thanks again to Professor J.P. Rosenzweig, founder of the Philosophy Institute, bringing ideas to life. More information on the Institute can be found at www.thephilosophyinstitute.org. Another thank you also goes out to the Commonweal Theater for Ibsen Fest 2014. More information on Ibsen Fest can be found at www.commonweal.org/Ibsen. You've been listening to Culture Click with Robert Pack.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.